singing. This our, we were not doing announcements this morning. I hope you caught all our announcements this morning on our slideshow prior to worship during the season of Advent. We will not be having our announcements, so I encourage you to look at your bulletin because everything's there. And make sure you check out your newsletters as well, because everything that's going on during the season of Advent is found there as well. But it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this second Sunday of Advent. This is a season of anticipation and preparation to welcome the Christ child. And we know that that's just a couple weeks away, and it's hard to believe that Christmas Eve is just a couple weeks away. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning, for those that are joining us in our sanctuary this morning, for those that are joining us online this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for choosing us to join us for worship that this way. If you are joining us by Facebook Live this morning, I'd also encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. You can pull up our worship bulletin and use that as a resource today for our worship service this day. The question I want to ask you this morning is this: is what might the Holy Spirit be revealing to you this Advent season as we reflect on the gifts that our Heavenly Father has given us this season? What might He be speaking to you this day? That's the question to ask as we sing praise to God. That's the question we ask as we read His Word this morning. That's the question we ask as we gather for worship this morning. Let us welcome the Spirit and the angels to worship this day, this morning. As we stand this morning and sing our song of praise this day, angels from the realms of glory, let's stand and sing this morning.
Days gone by, as in former years. As we think about the
Blessed is the Lord, and blessed are God's people, to whom God sends a Savior, the Messiah, who is Christ the Lord. Blessed is our God, and blessed are God's gifts that grace us with forgiveness and every good gift. Lord, you have come to dwell within us. Build your temple within our hearts this Advent Sunday morning. We lift this prayer in the name of the one who has come and will come again, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. be done throughout our community during this Christmas season will help fill the shelves and eventually fill the bellies of these hungry individuals. Thank you for those individuals that have already placed your non-perishable items underneath the Christmas tree this morning. If you can see the Christmas tree, I know it's hard to see over here, but if you can see it over here, it's already overwhelming. Thank you for those that have bought your items already. For those of you that still may have items in the pews this morning, during the singing of our next congregational carol, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, you're invited to bring your items up at that time. If you forgot to bring your items this morning, or someone has already asked me this morning, I forgot to bring my canned food items. I walked out of the house this morning without it. That's okay. I will be at the church this afternoon from probably 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock. So at any time this afternoon, if you want to bring by any items for the canned food drive for our non-perishable items, you can do that as well. Following the carol this morning, our deacon of the week, Paula Harrison, will come forward and have a prayer for the food donated and our offering for this day. Now, as a reminder, next Sunday, our Advent missions offering will be for winter coats and tennis shoes that we will be collecting and donating to Reedy Fork Elementary School for children who are in need. So now let us stand and sing and bring our Advent offering forward to God this morning.
Bless our offerings that were given.
hope you enjoy. Father, it's not often in the busyness of the day that we take advantage of sitting in the peace and serenity of your presence, where we listen to your voice speak to our minds, to speak to our hearts. Father, may your words speak to us this day in this bustling season of Advent. And may your Spirit speak to us in the serene voice that we need to hear, the message that we need to hear, the challenge that we need to hear, the call that we each need to hear this Advent season. We lift this prayer in the name of the one who brought peace to this earth, Jesus Christ, our Lord. nothing going on, just sitting in the presence of God. But there's a deeper sense of peace. And what God provides us this Advent season, and He's provided to us ever since He sent Jesus to this earth, is something we like to call serenity. You see, peace is a little bit temporary. Serenity is something deep. Serenity is something that touches our soul. When Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago, He brought us the ability to have serenity in our souls. But isn't it interesting that this time of year seems to be one of the most stressful and less serene times in our calendar? Just look at your calendar. Open it up for a few moments. Look at all the things you've got to do once December 1st starts to happen, right? All those things that you've got to check off your list between now and probably December 24th just to make sure that December 25th is all it's supposed to be. My calendar's the same way. I don't like looking at my calendar in December. I just like to experience what every day is supposed to be. There's something about not being able to experience that serenity of the soul that God has provided for us ever since Jesus came to this earth. So no matter what you sing when you sing Silent Night, beans, peas, or peace, let's talk about how we can experience that temporary peace and that longer peace, serenity in our souls, and open the gift of serenity this season and every season. You have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 this morning. Now, stressful would be a good term to describe what Joseph was experiencing, the situation that he landed in leading up to what we would call the very first Christmas. Let's read about this stressful situation this morning. And if you don't have your Bible with you, you can follow on the screen behind me. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave his name Jesus. Think about it. Pregnant fiance, profoundly condemned by Jewish law, decision to go through with marriage or not, turn Mary into the city elders, take the blame onto himself, and the list goes on and on and on. Joseph set out to do what any peace-loving individual would do. Resolve it privately and discreetly, as opposed to publicly in the Jewish courts. Now, while Joseph decided he was going to pursue a plan to calm the storms that were going around him, God was Joseph knew what God's plan was through the revelation of the angel in his dream, Joseph immediately took responsibility for his role in God's ultimate plan. This included the responsibility of following God's plan of taking care of Mary and of raising Jesus, the Son of God, as his own. Do we forget how much of a responsibility that was? Raising the Son of God?
Yeah.
I've raised two sons, not quite out of the house yet. That's a big responsibility. But raising the Son of God? Who wants to take that on? Who's volunteering for that job? And I'm seeing a lot of heads raising. I don't want to do that. Raising the Son of God. And Joseph took that responsibility. Over the last few weeks in our in-depth look at Joseph in our online study, one thing that we have noticed in Scripture is that we are not told a lot of details about Joseph. If you look in Scripture, you're not going to find it. It's not there. But one label is seen a couple of times in Scripture that speaks to this responsibility. Jesus is referred to a couple times as the carpenter's son. The carpenter's son. Now, that can quickly get glanced over as we read Scripture. In Mark, that's how he's referred to as the carpenter's son. But this label serves as proof that Joseph took responsibility for his role in God's plan as raising him as his son. He raised Jesus as his own. He poured into him the knowledge of being a carpenter. He mentored him as a father would do a son. He loved Mary and he cared for her as a wife and as a mother. Many times, we may be tempted to flee from responsibility, and I can imagine Joseph felt this oftentimes as well, because it demands too much. Sometimes we feel that God is asking too much of us. But guess what? He doesn't ask too much of us. He never does. He may challenge us, but he doesn't ask too much of us. Responsibility may cause too much pressure, and it may cause us to have stress in our lives, but guess what happens when we follow and step up? Serenity. We will discover that when we shy away from the responsibility that God may ask of us, we never will discover where we fit into God's design and God's plan. Where there is no sense of purpose, there is no sense of peace. Where there is no sense of purpose, there is no serenity. But when we listen to God, when we obey Him and think about what He's calling us to do, that's where serenity is found. When we shy away from our responsibility, we minimize our level and our ability to capture serenity. Joseph did not shy away from responsibility, and he found the gift of serenity. Little did he realize that it was wrapped in the form of a baby that he would raise to be his own. But that's not all. Not just responsibility, not just righteousness, but finally, the final way that we can open the gift of serenity is by exercising restraint. That's a word we don't like to think about very often. Sometimes we just want to let loose. But restraint is a powerful word and a powerful responsibility that we as Christians are called to take. When Joseph awoke from his dream, he knew what he had to do. He knew what he was called to do. He knew his responsibility. And he immediately took Mary as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to Jesus. Even though the marriage had been made legal in the eyes of society and Jewish culture, the marriage was not consummated until after Jesus was born. Now, much scholarly debate has been made about this little interesting fact. Why not? Why not? Why did he restrain himself? No clear scriptural reason is given. We're not given a reason for this restraint, when we do that, we oftentimes run into problems, and the flow of serenity in our lives comes to a screeching halt. Can you imagine how much Joseph and Mary wanted to shout from the rooftops about the baby that they were carrying and about to raise in their home? Can you imagine what they wanted to scream to everyone they encountered, who they were raising? We're raising the Messiah. Yeah, the one that's been preached about for thousands of years. We're raising him. This is him. Can you imagine how many doors they wanted to bang on? But were they called to do that? The answer is no. They were called to restrain themselves, to step back and let God reveal his ultimate plan and purpose. Instead, they showed restraint and allowed God to plan the revelation of the Messiah to the world. Now, I can imagine Mary and Joseph needed that time of serenity to prepare to be the earthly mother and father of Jesus, the infant, the child, the teenager, the adolescent that they would raise. We don't have many stories about that, but guess what? Jesus had to be get from a baby to 30 years old when he began his ministry. And we only have one story about it. There was a lot more years than there. There's a lot of stories there. But can you imagine how many stories, how many times Mary and Joseph sat in their home and just had a conversation about raising the Messiah? Think about the conversation that you may have had in raising the children or grandchildren that you have. I know the conversations that Jennifer and I had, that is just, it's mind-blowing. And that takes restraint. It takes the calm. It takes a peace. It takes serenity. Serenity that only God can bring you. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you." I can imagine Mary and Joseph's thoughts were fixed on the one who revealed the great message to them and the one who they would raise that would save their people, all people. Keeping our minds, hearts, and bodies focused upon God's plan and refusing to run ahead of God is what will unwrap that wonderful gift of serenity that God offers to each and every one of us. Are you going through a time in your life right now where you need to unwrap God's gift of serenity? Are you going through a time right now where the stress of life is overwhelming you? Is it because of the Christmas season? Is it because of the chaos of life that's wearing and tearing you down, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually? Is it a medical diagnosis, complexities at work, family trouble, financial insecurity, school stress? Is there something going on right now that you need to experience the gift of serenity? The same gift of serenity that Joseph opened that fateful night is ready to be opened by each of us if we pursue righteousness, if we take responsibility, and if we exercise restraint this Advent season. The amazing thing about this gift is that it is present for every single season of the year. Not just here at Christmas time, not just here on this Sunday, but every single Sunday and every day in between the Sundays. Open the gift. It's right there for us. Jesus brought it. Jesus provided it. Let's take it up. Come experience the serenity of God that lasts a lifetime. Let's pray. Father, 2,000 years ago, you sent the greatest gift to this earth. And while we have found a way to make this season stressful and overwhelming, Father, may we take a moment just this morning to recognize the peace and serenity that your gift, Jesus Christ our Lord, ushered in work or with our family or our friends or out in our community. Father, it's a gift that is right there for the opening. We just have to be willing to take it. Thank you for this gift. May we experience it in abundance this Advent season. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to this time of closing, as we sing our closing hymn this morning, maybe for this first time we recognize that gift that came in the form of Jesus brought a peace that you've been needing for so long. If this is the first time you've realized that, I'll be down front. Come down front. Let me talk to you about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Or maybe today you're looking for a church home that is seeking to provide peace and serenity into a world that is in the midst of chaos. Maybe this is the home for you, the church body. Let me talk to you about what First Baptist Elon seeks to do on a daily basis.